Don't spend my grandson's paycheck. He's only 2 years old. With Obama in the White House, his future's bought and sold. Stop this immoral spending spree. Stop assaulting our liberty. Let me help you comprehend. It ain't your money to spend.
Good evening and welcome to American Conservative Party Radio. My name is Tracy.
And I'm Bill.
We're going to be your hosts this evening for our show. And we started off with a little piece of music. Bill, you suggested it.
Yes, I did. That was a piece that's been going around the internet. And that was written specifically, as you might tell from the lyrics, as a protest of the Porculus Bill, of the omnibus bill that just passed and is on its way to dear comrade leader's signature. And the lady that does that is Kathleen Stewart. And incidentally, you can download that music for free, folks. All you have to do is go to KathleenSings.com, or you can Google it. But it's a wonderful one. I think we're going to play a little bit more of it later on during the show, but it's a great piece of music. I kind of like that kind of music anyway, and it certainly
Why
is...
Why does that not surprise me?
Yeah, and it certainly is apropos for the times that we're in.
Oh, well, you know, frankly, my parents, you know, Saturdays and Sunday, Saturdays it was house cleaning time in
mm-hmm.
my family's house. So we would get up kind of, you know, when we got up, we'd have our bowls of cereal and such, and Mom would get up and, you know, make some coffee and some sausage and eggs for Dad, and he'd get up. And once everybody was up about 8:30, then you know, we would be sent to our rooms to pull the bedclothes, dump all the laundry over the banister down from the second floor, and the vacuum would go up, and the dusting and vacuuming would be done upstairs, and the bathroom would be done, and all the while that was going on, the big stereo radio in the living room would be blasting away, big show tunes, big band music, you know, Frank and Bing, and I mean, it was just, that was the music my parents listened to. I became a really big fan of Glenn Miller.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, that's what we listened to for the next 3 to 5 hours while the house was cleaned top to bottom, laundry was done, you know, and that was Saturdays in my house. So
yep.
I enjoyed that music, that kind of music.
You betcha.
In any case, it's, as you suggest, the music is apropos given the idea that, you know, we're spending $3 trillion this year, three going
oh, yeah.
on four.
Yep.
Got to have to wonder. Somebody posted, I don't know who posted it on the new ACP website, and we'll talk about that in a few minutes, a picture of what $1 trillion looks like. And, I, you know, people just don't get it, how much $1 trillion is. You know, we talk about $1 trillion budget. We talk about, you know, $1.5 trillion in a budget. It's gotten to the point where people just don't understand how much money that is.
Absolutely.
The idea that we can spend $20 million a minute, you know, think about that, $20 million a minute.
Yeah. That boggles the mind.
I can't spend, I could really work hard at spending $20 million in a lifetime.
Yeah.
And we're doing
yeah.
it on a minute-by-minute basis. So the idea that $3 trillion. You know what the Fujitsu scale is, right? I'm not probably saying it right.
Oh, yes, yes. Yeah,
the Richter
I do.
Scale is actually a better one. Because the Richter scale, most people don't understand how that works. But let me explain it to you. A 4.0 earthquake on the Richter scale has is a certain magnitude earthquake. Now, a 5.0, somebody might believe, is a what increase in magnitude do you know? Do you know what the increase in magnitude is from a 4.0 to a 5.0?
If I'm remembering correctly, it's 1,000. Well, wait a minute.
That's right. No,
it's exactly
correct.
It's 1,000, right.
1,000 times stronger from a 4.0 to a 5.0.
Yep.
So a 6.0 is a million times stronger than a 4.0.
Yep.
That's kind of what a budget that goes from $1 trillion to $2 trillion is.
Yes.
It's not just $1 trillion more. It is a magnitude greater. Because if it is difficult to comprehend the idea of spending $1 trillion at $20 million a minute, the idea of spending $40 million, just think about it, $40 million, you know, a minute. $60 million a minute. You know, there are certain things you can do. And you think about the movie Brewster's Millions. I don't know if you remember seeing that.
I did not.
You ever seen it?
Nope.
No?
Nope.
Brewster's Millions was a Richard Pryor movie. Very, very funny. The whole premise of the movie was he could inherit $300 million. He just had to spend $30 million in 30 days. And he couldn't have anything left at the end of the 30 days. Now, the problem with that is, of course, what you can't spend $30 million on food.
No.
You can't spend $30 million on gas. You know, it's really, really hard to spend that kind of money and not get something in return for it. And one of the most interesting parts in there was he bought a $1 million stamp. And then used it on a postcard.
Oh, my God.
Okay? That was the idea of what he had. Eventually, what he did was he decided to run for an election that was coming up there, and he was able to burn through his $30 million pretty fast. But the whole point of the idea was he was going to get so tired of spending $30 million that he would behave with the
$300.
And, of course,
okay.
That's the problem. How do you spend $30 million that fast? Because you can do lots of things with the first couple million, but then it gets progressively harder and harder and harder to spend the next million. And that's
sure.
How I look at our budget situation right now, is we're spending a trillion. It's so much harder to spend the next trillion on top of that, and then the next trillion on top of that. It's just boggling the mind how much it
yes.
is. I don't think Barack Obama has a clue what he's talking about. Oh, we're going to spend $600 billion on this. Or we're going to spend $400 billion on that. We're going to spend $700 billion on this. Are you insane? You know, that money has to come from somewhere.
Yes, it does. And, you know, I'm pretty firmly convinced that people really don't understand that. Because, folks, here's the deal. The government doesn't have any money to spend. Not because
not
they can't
nickel.
Print it. They can print up all they want. But the only place that they get that money from is from the people who pay taxes. Now, I read an interesting thing in the last couple of days. New York City has a population of approximately 8 million people.
Oh, I know what you're going to say.
Do you know how many people out there in Radio Land, do you know how many people foot that bill? 40,000 people. Those are the people who pay the bills for New York City in their city taxes. That's not their state taxes. That's not their federal taxes. That's not their unemployment insurance taxes. That's not their Social Security taxes. That's just their city taxes.
And people think, well, 40,000 people, that's a lot of people. Ladies and gentlemen, 40,000 people wouldn't fill Yankee Stadium.
That's right. You could put all of the people who foot the bills for New York City and Yankee Stadium and have room left.
Lots of room left.
Yes.
And that's, but that's exactly the same thing that goes on with here. The top 2% of the American people pay 60% of the bills in this country.
Yep.
You know, the reality is the situation. We should be bowing down and saying thank you very much, Mr. Rich Person, Mrs.
Yes.
Rich Person. And,
yep.
you know, Barack Obama just wants to say, I'm going to screw you nine ways to hell.
Yes, indeed. Oh, by the way, you still aren't pulling your fair share, so we're going to take a little bit more from you.
You know, I think I want goose for dinner, don't you?
Yeah, absolutely. I don't know if you've read this or not, but apparently the sales of Ayn Rand's Atlas Shrugged have tripled just this year.
I thought I saw it was like 26 or 32 on Amazon. It's moved
yeah.
up quite a bit. Yeah, it's, you know, well, part of that is the Galt thing that's going around the internet.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
who is John Galt? Yep.
John Galt. So, you know, and I read Atlas Shrugged back in, I want to say when I was in college the second time, which
mm-hmm.
was about 20 years ago,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And found it really interesting. And, of course, you know, if you read it with any kind of an open mind, you're going to sit there and go, okay, liberals are the stupidest people on the planet.
Yeah.
Because you
can't agree with
read that and not see the danger that liberalism is.
Absolutely.
Go ahead.
I am currently reading it again.
I'm considering it.
This is probably my fourth or fifth time through it. But let me tell
you... go ahead.
Let me tell you the thing that struck me this time.
Okay.
Because as Ayn Rand sets up the scenario, you can see present-day parallels in it. The complexity of the tax code, the fact that you place the entire burden on the people that can produce, the fact that you make it sure that just in the act of producing, they have to break laws. And that plays to guilt. You broke a law. You're guilty. Oh, I'm sorry. Let me make amends here. But the fact of the matter is, the only people that keep the economy humming are the people that produce.
Absolutely.
If there was no production, there would be no goods to buy. There would be no economy. And so consequently, and there was an interesting takeoff from that today, some columnist wrote, and I don't remember his name, but he wrote, wait a minute, if Freedom of Choice Act passes and the Catholic hospitals in fact shut down, aren't they being traitorous? They're denying medical care to people that they should have to provide. Doesn't matter if they are totally against abortion. He brought up another fact. Can farmers simply refuse to produce? Well, you know what? They could. You make it tough on them. You make it tough enough on them. And they'll say, wait a minute. I don't need to do that. I don't need to spend my life treasure, my blood, my time, my entire life producing for no reward. And that is the key to Ayn Rand's plot in Atlas Shrugged. If
right.
producers say, no, I'm not going to produce anymore, you can kiss your entire lifestyle away. It's gone.
Right, because in the end, you're working to support people that disrespect every single ounce of effort you put into it.
Absolutely.
And
not so much as a thank you.
Worse.
Yeah.
Do more. What's wrong
exactly.
with you?
What's the matter with you?
Now, this all brings up the general idea that you read Atlas Shrugged, and you have to suggest that liberals have to be stupid in order not to see the danger. And I look at what has gone on, and I posted about this last week. You know, 45 days into it, and I was thinking about, I think it was on Friday.
Mm-hmm.
I was thinking about 45 days into this administration, and I can't imagine how the next 45 can't be dramatically worse.
I don't know that I bet money on that, but
you think it's going to get better? Or
no, I am absolutely positive it's not going to get better.
You know, I just look at it and go, come on. How the thing with Great Britain is and Russia. Oh my God.
Oh my God. What travesties.
Okay, two things that you have to suggest. Either this administration is the most incompetent, stupid, led by the least possibly most ridiculous man on the planet. He makes Chauncey look smart. Or he's doing it on purpose. I don't know which scares me more. I think I prefer to have stupid. But if he's not the stupidest man that we've ever had as president running an administration, then he's worse than dangerous because he's doing it on purpose. And you got to think, you know, we've wiped out $1 trillion of stock wealth.
More than that.
This year.
This year.
$1 trillion. People are opening up their 401ks and going, what the hell?
Yeah.
You know, I think I brought up a couple weeks ago, one of the petitions I was doing, somebody, you know, they had their 401k, they put $30,000 into it, their company matched him with $30,000, and he ended up with less money at the end of the year than when he started.
Oh my God.
You know, you've got to sit there and kind of go, what's going to happen in the future? If, you know, all these people are working their ass off for the last 10 years. It's gone. It's just gone. Gone. Not even a little
disappeared.
Bit gone. Gone.
Yep. Disappeared.
And you think about this idea that he doesn't care. He doesn't care about the gyrations. You know, those are people's lives. Those are, you know, 40 million people's retirement plans have just gone poof.
Upside down.
You know,
people
that are in their 50s and early 60s that are going, I was planning on retiring in 2010.
Yep.
Not anymore.
That must be one of the jobs that he saved, huh?
Hey, my God. So, Great Britain, he insults one of our best allies, and every single excuse, and I've heard four at this point.
Yep.
Every single excuse given for the slight of Great Britain. And it wasn't a slight. It was a flat-out insult.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely different.
And every single one of those, you know, excuses for doing so was worse.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then I'll let you bring it up because it just makes me furious.
Oh, yes. And then a State Department spokesman speaking to the press, the British press, says, what are you so upset about? You're nothing special. You're just another one of the 190 nations. And my jaw dropped when I read that. And you will notice very carefully, nobody in that administration has denied that that was said. Nobody. Nobody said, wait a minute, he misspoke. Nobody said, oh, I'm sure that was taken out of context. Of course we value the British ally.
Yeah,
nobody has said that. Nothing.
Okay. They spent 20 years figuring out who Deep Throat was. I want to spend 20 years finding out who this State Department guy is. Because if this guy or this woman who said that is not fired. Flat out fired and hung strong in court as far as I'm concerned. You know, that's all I can say.
Yeah. Do it, Dean on him. It borders on the criminal as far as I'm concerned.
And then
Hillary can't treat an ally like that.
Staples button. Come on.
Oh, yeah.
Hillary Clinton decides to give... Oh, wait a second. You know what? All I can think about as far as Barack Obama's gift to the British Prime Minister, okay,
mm-mm,
giving a DVD of E.T. the movie.
To a guy who can't see. Has incredible vision problems. Thank you very much.
And of course, how come we don't have anybody in the State Department that can speak Russian?
Oh, yeah.
That the Russian history is over? We don't need to speak Russian because the Russians speak English, so we don't have to speak... Okay, people, you know, the Staples button is a really cute little commercial.
Oh, it is. It's a great one. I love those commercials.
But giving the Staples button to, you know, the Russian Prime Minister... And they couldn't even get the word right.
Exactly.
Moron!
Exactly.
And I'm
going to
include Hillary Clinton in that. All right, look.
Yeah.
All right. We're going to stop talking about the blatant stupidity, because it better be stupid. He better be stupid.
Oh, yeah.
Pray to God that he is the stupidest man we've ever had as president.
Yeah.
Because the alternative, we're so screwed.
Oh, yeah. I mean, if this is on purpose...
We're so screwed.
Oh, man. I mean, hang on to your hats, ladies and gentlemen. Stock up on food. Stock up on ammunition.
We're going to have three friends in this world of the United States. Venezuela, Cuba, and North Korea. Everyone else is going to be pissed off at us.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Now, let's kind of change directions here for a second.
Okay.
We have two gentlemen on the line that I want to say good evening to.
Excellent.
Because they have some news for us, and I want to give them a chance to share.
All right.
Butch Porter, Chairman of the Executive Committee of the American Conservative Party, and Rick Webb. Sorry, Rick, I can't remember what your title is on the Executive Committee of the American Conservative Party. Good evening, gentlemen. How are you?
Hello.
That'd be Vice Chairman.
Vice Chairman. Chairman and Vice Chairman.
Right.
Hey, cool.
Hey.
Okay.
That's the guy I want to know.
All right. Butch.
Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am.
Talk to me. What's going on?
Well, we're actually launching a new website tonight. It's been up, and a lot of our members know about it, but we're going to officially reveal it tonight. And it's called it's at theamericanconservatives.org. And we're still going to have the old site as basically a blog, and you're going to be able to get to it and continue blogging if you're blogging on the old site. But the new site's going to have a slightly different focus, and the main focus is joining the party and volunteering for the party. So we have basically a list of job descriptions and roles that our party members can play in helping create and build a party. And so if you go to theamericanconservatives.org and click join, fill out the info, and then the next step would be find a volunteer position that that makes sense to you.
That's excellent news.
Isn't that great? Well, we're supposed to do it. We wanted to do it a little earlier. We had talked about it last week on this show. You know, with a little bit of heckling from some of our members saying, I thought it was going to be lost from March 3rd. Okay, well, now it's lost on March 10th. So get to work.
Yeah, there you go.
All right. So there's five different categories. And everybody has different strengths, different weaknesses. We talked about this last week. But number one is research and policy. I mean, obviously, a lot of people in our party are very strong in those, on those counts. So there's a department for that, and there's going to be different job descriptions in that realm. And Jason Hale is going to be managing that part. He's our marketing public relations guy. The second category is web administration. We're going to have several tools that Charlie Domino is going to help orchestrate for us. He's our secretary. And that could be, you know, Wikipedia management. It could be, Wikipedia editing, I'm sorry. Administering a website. It could be blogging. There's a variety of ways to get involved there. The third category, and what Rick is mostly in charge of is the state development. So there's not as many options there, but there's two or three very key ones. And one is, you know, if you're in a state where there isn't a party yet or there isn't a chapter yet, you can help take a leadership role of state development there. There's always the opportunity for precinct captain type opportunities in states that already have a chapter forming. And Rick can talk more about that in a sec, because that's going to be a major focal point, trying to get state chapters upgraded to state affiliate parties. And then the fourth category would be local activism. You know, there's a myriad of ways that people can get to know the people in their community and help make changes in their community and recruit for the party all at the same time. And there's going to be a variety of ways to do that. Meetup groups, book clubs, joining your chamber of commerce, on the public policy committee. There's tons of ways to do that. And then the fifth is kind of a call out for expertise. And that's the marketing and branding department. And that's where we need folks to help out with, well, really the fun stuff, you know, bumper stickers and paraphernalia, hats and T-shirts and so graphic designers and web administrators and, web developers or database managers, all the way to, you know, people who maybe have a print shop or know somebody has a print shop or willing to help out in the design and branding side of things. Because the more and more people we get in more and more states, the more and more chapters that are formed, some of those chapters might need, you know, state-specific paraphernalia as well. And so the more people we have involved in that effort, the better. So now we have a very clear process by which someone can pick out how they want to help out. And so we're looking forward to the myriad of applicants.
Cool.
Super. Well, yeah, give us the website address again there.
It's the AmericanConservatives.org. If you go to the original site, at some point tonight we're going to post a big link up, and eventually it'll forward over. And the other site will still be up, but it'll be underneath the old one. I mean, underneath the new one as a blog. But yeah, if you go to the old site within the next hour or so, I'll have a link up that says, "Hey, check out the new site." And so, that's where it is. TheAmericanConservatives.org. Of course, the play on words there is in the UK they call them the Conservatives, right? I mean, the party. It's the Conservative Party. They call them the Conservatives. And mm-hmm. so we're the Conservatives. We just happen to be on this side of the pond.
Yes.
So.
When for those people that live up here in the upper Midwest, it's the American Conservatives.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The American Conservatives. I have trouble with that. I don't know. I guess.
Everybody does, Butch.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm a Southerner. I was taught to denunciate, to enunciate.
There you go.
Mm-hmm.
I have lots of interesting things to say about that, none of which will get me a lot of good points, brownie points, and I'm looking for brownie points today, so I'm not going to say anything else
hey,
more about it.
Yeah, you better watch the Southern comments on.
Yeah, yeah.
Sure.
Let me tell you, I have a few of them. I spent some time in the South, and let me tell you, it was a really nice time.
Yep.
There you go.
I did also, and I enjoyed it immensely. Is that enough for brownie points? Did I get a brownie point on that one?
No, I think we.
Hey, speaking of the South, I found this interesting today. I got an email from a guy down the road here in Manassas, and he shot me an email, basically to the main email, the chairman email. And so it was kind of a shout-out to conservatives everywhere, you know, please help. And so I shot him an email back saying, are you available for a phone call? I said, yes. And so I called him. He was either today or yesterday. And we got into a really great conversation. And guess what book he just got the reading?
Man Rand.
Oh,
Atlas
let me
Shrugged.
Guess.
Atlas Shrugged. And
yes,
I told him, I said, because as soon as we started talking, he mentioned the book. And I said, well, how recently did you read it? He said, well, I'm reading it right now. I said, dude, that's not cool. I mean, you got to wake up at night in cold sweats. I wouldn't want to read that book right now. You're the living shit out of me.
Yeah, that, you know what? That's like,
I mean,
somebody
Jesus.
Going to see someone hiring a babysitter to go watch the movie The Hand That Walks the Cradle.
Exactly,
the
exactly.
Yeah.
That's exactly right. I've never left my kid at home before. Let's go watch The Hand That Rocks the Cradle. That's a perfect example.
I'm sure like half the women that went to see that movie leaving their kids got up halfway through the movie and...
Oh, of course. But anyway, so I got into this great conversation with him. The guy's from New York. And he said,
man.
You know... Yeah, he's from New York. And he said, you know what amazes me? Is how many of my kids think that the Civil War was fought over slavery.
Oh, boy.
And, of course, I stop, and I'm like, okay, this guy's from New York. I don't want to say anything dumb. <You know? laughs> And so I kind of waited for him to say, you know, what we all know is true, and that is the Civil War wasn't really fought over slavery. And I'm like, well, I'm glad you said that, because I'm from Louisiana. I didn't want to step on any Yankee toes there. And so anyway, I had this really great conversation. So, but one of the things he was very adamant about was that, my Lord God, we need to teach our kids.
Oh, yes.
I mean, our kids have to understand how this government, I mean, how this country has come about and that it wasn't an accident. And the things that happened for a reason. And to further emphasize that note, I'm at a meeting tonight. It was a debate, get this, between three contenders for the Republican nomination for Attorney General.
For the
Commonwealth of Virginia.
Oh, okay.
Okay. I'm in semi-enemy territory at a Republican, you know, debate
exactly.
or whatever.
Yeah.
Which was really fun. I love going to Republican meetings because, you know, people, hey, have you signed up for the... No, I'm not a Republican. Oh. Well, that's okay. Oh, really, is it? Okay, thanks. I appreciate that. So anyway, and I knew, because I had heard from some of my good, you know, kind of curmudgeon-y libertarian friends through my taxpayer group that the guy to support was X, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so I go in kind of with that preconceived notion, I admit. But my God, I mean, he mentioned the 10th Amendment, for the love of God, you know, about the whole immigration issue and about, yeah, amazing, about how we need to fight as states. The term general was state needs to fight for our state sovereignty. It was really great. So I'm excited that we have a Republican contender for Attorney General who has a brain in his head.
On that 10th Amendment note, Mississippi, in their legislature, just today or yesterday, introduced a piece of legislation or a resolution affirming the 10th Amendment.
God bless America.
Yes, indeed.
Did you hear Jason is so pissed off that New Hampshire turned it down?
Yes.
New Hampshire shot it down? You're shitting me, really?
Yes.
New Hampshire shot it down. He's
crazy.
So mad about it.
I bet he is.
Yeah.
I mean, how do you shoot something down that is a restatement of the United States of America's Constitution? I mean, give me a break here.
Did you want stimulus money?
I don't know, maybe.
Because you want to get down on one knee and grab it with both hands and plant a wet, sloppy one there. That's what you
want to
do.
Hey, incidentally, the Wall Street Journal has an interactive map of the stimulus funds and how much each state is getting in four different categories, I believe.
Oh, my.
Blue states get big money.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. And it's amazing to look at it because they break it down both by population, by square mile, and by total dollar amount in the categories.
I don't
want to
know.
No, you may not.
You really don't want to know.
You raise
sure.
your blood pressure.
I'm going to be spending the weekend in Chicago, and the only thing I can think about is the fact that I'm going to be in a city full of people that think that they are God's gift to democracy.
Yep.
And as long as no one pays attention to the IOU that's attached to the gift, maybe that's true.
Yeah, could be.
Rick, jump in here. What's going on, dude?
Well, last night I kind of did something similar to what Butch did tonight. I went to the meeting of the Upstate Republicans.
Uh-huh.
So,
upstate, right? You said upstate, not uptight.
There were a little bit of that. They've got the young Republican groups in South Carolina divided into three areas: the upstate, the Midlands, and the lowlands.
Uh-huh.
And these are the people who organized the highly successful Tea Party that we had a couple of weeks ago.
How
okay.
cool.
The reason that I went was because they are having not one more, but two more in April.
Excellent.
So I listened to the group leader say over and over again that they were not promoting the Tea Parties as the Republican Party, but as conservatives, which did the old heart good.
You betcha.
And then I went up, pulled him to the side, and asked him if we could participate in the planning.
Mm-hmm.
It did reject the idea out of hand.
Good.
So maybe I will be able to get us in there. He said, I'll get back in touch with you shortly on it. And I've traded emails with this gentleman several times in the last couple of weeks. So I'm sure I will hear from him. He seems like a pretty upstanding guy.
Good.
But I would encourage the listenership and the membership to seek out the people who are planning this next round, which is right around tax day,
mm-hmm.
and see what you can do to get us involved.
Exactly.
And attending is great, but if we've got our name in any place stamped on that Tea Party, that more than raises awareness of what we're doing.
Absolutely.
Not only in our own state, but in the neighboring states.
Mm-hmm. Good.
Absolutely.
Did you by the way hear the bumper music as we came in?
I did not.
You did not.
I missed that too.
I heard something about Glenn Miller though.
Well, you got in on the tail end of it then. And I don't know if Tracy's going to have time to...
Let's try it up. Let's put it up. Let's
go ahead. Put it up. Listen to this, folks.
Don't spend my grandson's paycheck. He's only 2 years old. With Obama in the White House, his future's bought and sold. Stop this immoral spending spree. Stop assaulting our liberty. Let me help you comprehend, it ain't your money to spend. Born and bred for freedom, got me a lot of rights. They're all but disappearing before your fiscal appetite. You're taking the fruit of my labor to give to your next door neighbor. I'll say it from beginning to end, it ain't your money to spend. money to spend. You're acting like a bunch of jerks. I'm the one who earned it. I'm the one who works. Your income redistribution doesn't jive with the Constitution. So I got a little message to send. It ain't your money to spend. You started a spending orgy and then you made me long for Georgie again. You gave some cash to Acorn. Those folks are so corrupt. All the pork and all the payoffs, it makes me want to erupt. Harry Reid and Nancy Pelosi, the scariest folks since Bela Lugosi. Let me help you comprehend, it ain't your money to spend. It ain't your money to spend. You're acting like a bunch of jerks. I'm the one who earned it. I'm the one who works. Your income redistribution doesn't jive with the Constitution. So I got a little message to send. It ain't your money to spend.
So let me tell you, that was done by Kathleen Stewart. And that is a song that she basically donated. It's out there in the public. It's a free download. Go to KathleenSings.com, and you can get that song. And she did that specifically. Well, no, I can't say that. But that song has been adopted by the Tea Parties all over this nation as their theme song.
That is so awesome.
Yeah.
it's a great idea, and it absolutely hits home to the general idea. I mean, you guys that have worked on the new site, I'm looking at it right now, and one of the things, there's sayings that you guys have on the banner on the front that I like a whole lot, and this fits in very right with the one that's there right now. It says, what part of lower taxes, cut the pork, balance the budget, and defend the borders did you not understand?
Exactly.
Hello? Right.
Absolutely.
Come on. Money. Not yours. I'm actually teaching my dog that. Not whenever he's got something in his mouth that doesn't belong there.
Yeah.
Not yours.
Not yours. Cool. Yeah, yeah.
He's sitting here looking at me like going, but you gave me the bone.
Yeah, right.
Gave me the bone. What are you talking about? It's mine. You said I could have it. All right. Good piece of music. TheAmericanConservatives.org website is up and live for people to get on, get registered, get volunteering, get involved. We certainly want to encourage people to take a couple minutes a day, 20 minutes a week, an hour a month, and put some physical, not sitting in front of the computer typing, actually get up and do something for conservatism here in the United States.
Absolutely. Folks, go to that website. If you believe in liberty, if you believe in individualism, if you believe in conservatism, go to that website, sign up, volunteer. Because I will tell you this, if you don't do that, you can sit there in front of your computer day after day doing whatever it is that you do on there, reading the blogs and saying, yeah, I agree with that. Yes, that's terrible. And if you don't do anything, you will deserve every bad thing that happens to you under this administration. If you
Hallelujah.
Do not get involved.
Absolutely right. Get out of our comfort zones and and do whatever it takes to move it forward.
Yep. Absolutely.
Both Bill and I have said the same thing. We are so tired of listening to people go, well, you know, Republicans work for a living. Yeah? So what?
You're not going to be working for a living much more. Has anybody read F.A. Hayek's Road to Serfdom? I mean, it's...
Exactly.
You're going to be, you know, you work for a living or you can work for your neighbor.
Yeah, there you
exactly.
go.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, no
yeah,
doubt.
That's right. I'm, you know, it's if you don't get involved now, when are you going to get involved? When they take, what, 60% of your earnings for taxes? Because that's coming, folks.
It's happened before. It ain't going to be the first or last time.
That's exactly right. So when do you get involved? When do you say, you know, I have to be part of the solution. I cannot be status quo. I have got to work. And if that's on the local level at the school board, that's fine. You bet. Do that. We need that. Because kids right now don't know what our heritage is.
You know, I had a note from somebody I met at CPAC a few weeks ago. He had me confused with someone else. He asked about my book or some nonsense. I'm like, no, I haven't written any books. I don't know who the hell you're talking about. Sorry. Well, maybe we should do an email interview. And he asked me like three really mundane questions. I guess just be polite. But one of the things he asked me was, what is the number one issue that is facing the conservative movement? And I thought about it, and I said, I can only answer it three things. And that is national, state, and local. And it's very simple. National taxes, right? Because, you know, if we keep putting money in the middle of the table, then they're going to continue taking our money. So you can't stop that. So nationally is taxes. State is health care because, you know, right now states regulate health care, and if they don't push for private market-driven solutions to bring down the cost, then we're going to have socialized medicine and I'm going to have to go do something else for a living.
Yep.
And the third thing is locally is education. If we do not reduce the power of local school systems and reduce the dependence on government to educate our children, we will lose. We will lose, and we will continue to lose every time.
Yep.
It is clear, and I'm going to have to go by memory. Bill, you can update me if I'm actually incorrect. The whole issue in the thing that bothered me most about the story of in Atlas Drugs is that people that should have known better bought into the idea of helping their neighbor.
Yep.
Good-meaning people that worked hard for a living, thought that it would be beneficial for them to contribute a portion of what they had for the benefit of others. It is that kind of blindness. You know, I hate to say this, people, but human beings are pretty selfish. Give them an opportunity, and they're going to take it.
Mm-hmm.
And the idea that there are good people that are blind and deaf to the realities of what goes on in the world, the idea that war is not the answer, is one of those stupid phrases.
Yeah.
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 War is absolutely the answer if somebody's trying to come and kill you.
Yep.
You know, and if you don't think that that's the answer, then you're going to die and they will win.
You know, this is really a war, if you will, of a moral code.
Why?
The moral code that says you are entitled to the fruits of your labor and no one else. You can, if you choose voluntarily, not coercively, but voluntarily, you can disperse the fruits of your labor however you wish, but
yeah, but
only on a voluntary basis.
That's the problem. People are voluntarily giving up their rights to the government because they think it's a good thing to do for the
yep.
benefit of everybody.
Exactly.
They're wrong.
But
they're
that's
terribly,
not charity.
Terribly wrong.
Exactly.
But that's not charity, and that's the conversation we need to have.
That's right.
You know, and this is it became very evident tonight at this debate, and I had to leave like 30 minutes in because I realized that I hadn't eaten anything in like
Uh-oh.
6 hours, and I was starting
Uh-oh.
To get faint. Plus, I really didn't want to miss you guys.
Yeah.
So no, actually, it was the hunger. I promise. So, but what happened was, I noticed, I saw where the trends are. I mean, and it is stuff that hasn't occurred to me before because I've never really, you know, participated in the primaries before, especially for Attorney General. But it was very evident who the real conservative was. And, you know, the guy in the middle who I went in kind of knowing a little bit about contrasted with the other two. The other two were very simple. They were attorneys. And they were conservative, okay? And I'm not saying they weren't conservative, but they talked about things in a Republican way and not a conservative way. I'll give you a perfect example. One of them, actually both of the two on each side, were pushing for a trigger man rule, okay, where – you know, the death penalty has a lot of, you know, a lot of qualifications, you know, even in Virginia, that, you know, there are certain exceptions to the rule where someone has to be, you know, directly responsible for murder. If there are, you know, gang-related issues, there are, you know, terrorism, et cetera, et cetera. We had a huge sniper, you know, deal here a few years back.
Mm-hmm.
Y'all remember John Muhammad or whatever his
yep.
name was.
Yep, yep.
So there's a lot of exceptions in the rule to make it okay that even though you didn't pull the trigger, you still get the death penalty. But they are still exceptions, right?
Mm-hmm.
And but these two guys were like, look, we need to kill the trigger man rule. If someone is an accessory to murder, then they need, you know, it's an anti-justice rule. And then I heard that word and I'm like, wait a minute, something's up here. And then Ken Cuccinelli, I'll say his name now, Ken Cuccinelli, who's the guy that I'm going to be supporting for Attorney General here, says, all that sounds great, and there are exceptions, and he named off all the exceptions that they had already talked about, right? but completely killing the trigger man rule, which means that the death penalty should be applied, you know, only in certain circumstances that are defined statutorily by as exceptions to the murder one rule. He says, the reason I'm concerned about just killing the trigger man rule is that I believe in limited government.
Yes.
And I believe that we have to be careful about the power that we give government, and especially when you're talking about a power that cannot be reversed. And just I don't even know whether I agree with it or not. You know what I mean? I mean, maybe the other guys have a good point about the trigger man rule. Maybe, you know, there are some good, but the way he made the argument and his thought process is missing from the Republican Party.
Mm-hmm.
Because the other guys' bullet points are they're pro-life, they're supportive of faith and family. And they believe in low taxes. Well, congratulations.
Yeah, really.
I mean, great. I mean, okay, well, good. Well, tell me how that makes you a good attorney general.
Yeah. One out of three ain't bad there.
And tell me. Yeah. Sorry.
I'm going to cut you off a little bit because I want 5 minutes. And that's all
go
we
ahead.
Have left. Rick, Butch, thank you for joining us tonight.
I enjoyed it myself.
Absolutely want to, you know, good job on the website. I know the amount of work that's involved in getting that up and running. We'll talk about it again over the next couple of weeks. And, you guys have a good week. Now.
Absolutely. Good night.
Night, Butch. Thank you. Night, Rick.
All right. On Saturday night, I got a phone call. My mother. And I said, hi, what's up? And she had a hard time talking. She had a hard time talking because what she had to tell me was very disturbing. And I knew it was something serious. My father's been of ill health for a long time, and I thought, here it comes. But no. She called to tell me that my youngest brother had died.
Mm.
He turned 45 in January, and he led a hard life. Some of the choices he made were not always the greatest. He was a good person that made some odd choices in his life. There's a lot to be said about what went down and such like that. But the most important thing is that my original thought was that he had taken his own life. He's done a sort of kind of attempt in the past. And he's been having a significant amount of problems over the last 10 or 15 years. And I would not have been surprised to hear it.
Mm-hmm.
But it appears that's not the case. We won't know until the autopsy's done. It'll be done the next day or two, and I'll hear about it. But it looks like he simply had a heart attack. He may have had a massive stroke. He had fallen from a ladder on Friday, and it may have, given him a small bleed in the brain, and it just took time for it to happen.
Mm-hmm.
In any case, I've lost two brothers in the last 3 years, both younger than I am. And it's one of those things that the hardest thing for me, when my brother Billy died 3 years ago, he'd been in the hospital for two months, and we knew a lot that things were going wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And it was not good that he died. And even though he'd been in the hospital, we certainly weren't ready for it. Eddie was a little bit different. He's walked a very fine edge with one foot over that edge pretty much for the last 25 years. He burned the candle on all four ends for most of that time. And it was not surprising. It would not have been surprising. I'm comforted by the fact that he didn't do that, that he went because of a silly little accident. His two sons, who have done very well, have put up a website in his honor. The website is, I'm going to have to dig it back up again. I already lost it. EddieCoyle.com. The EdwardAcoyle.com, and it's you see the difference in point of views from my point of view as a he was my brother for the last 45 years, and from the two sons that he raised. People, the one thing that his son said was that he was sorry he didn't get a chance to say goodbye to his dad. Now, I moved away from home when I was 19 and came back 10 years later. And after I left home that second time, I made it a point to make sure I always told my parents everything. What they did, what I thought of them, and how I thought my life was a benefit to them. 45 seconds. Let's see if I can get it done. Look at your loved ones. Tell them what you want to tell them. Because tomorrow, you may no longer have that choice.
Amen.
So tomorrow I go down to my parents' house, and we'll have the memorial on Thursday. And there'll be just the four of us and my parents. I have to say that I'm not horribly upset like I was with Billy. But I'll miss my brother.
Yep.
And I wish him all the peace that he didn't have in life. Bill, have a good week.
You too, Tracy. Good night.
Good night, everyone. See you next week. We're off.
Okay. Super.
Thanks, sir.
Great memorial, by the way.
Yep.
I'll
be available by internet if something happens. I don't expect anything to go crazy. Tomorrow I'm going to be kind of nuts because I'm doing running around. I got to put the dogs in the kennel and got to pack and all that other crap.
You betcha.
But if anything comes up, let me know.
I will do it.
Otherwise, Twitter away. I see you and TK are having a little conversation.
Yeah, we are. I saw you way in there.
So
we'll get it sorted out.
Yeah, and you know what?
Mm.
You know that there's been a discussion about that banner page, about whoever that person is. I thought it was Butch.
No. Oh, yeah, right. Yes, I'm aware of that discussion. I figured that was just a generic somebody or another.
Well, it's stupid to have a generic somebody or other up there.
Yeah, I know. It's just kind of crazy. It needs a symbol, not a person. At least that's my opinion.
You know what? We could have taken any one of those people on Dan's faces and put them up there.
Absolutely.
Could have rotated them.
Yep. I know. I guess
not
here
in my responsibilities anymore.
That's exactly right. They're going to have to figure that one out with whatever input we give them. So, okay. Tracy, have a good one. And you're absolutely right. You got to say I love you and hi and goodbye to the folks you love.
Yeah, you know, my sister is going to be there tomorrow, the one that's, and I don't know if you've been part of this, she's pretty much been estranged from the family of her own choice, which was fine for me because she's been a royal bitch for the last 20 years. But when my mom had a heart attack just before Thanksgiving, she invited my sister to come over the day after Thanksgiving because we were making Christmas pudding and to be part of the making of Christmas pudding. But she asked me first if it would be okay. And I said I didn't have any problem with it. It was obvious that she was making an effort to try and reconnect with my sister.
Uh-huh.
And to the extent that it was a pleasurable evening with her around, it was clear my mother was happy about the fact that, you know, that we could all be there and be civil.
Yes.
And even be friendly and joking and being normal. So,
yep.
She's going to be there tomorrow. She was there yesterday. We've obviously been on the phone a lot over the last 4 or 5 days. But,
yep.
She was over there and she's going to be there tomorrow. So, it should be rather, or Thursday, it should be rather interesting, to see. She doesn't call my dad, Dad.
Really?
She calls him by his name, given name.
Wow.
Which, I consider to be a pretty straight-up forward sign of disrespect. So, we'll see how things go. My brother from New Mexico may be flying in, so that'll be the first time in 15 years that all of us would be... all of us will be at home at one time.
Wow.
Yeah, I last time I saw my brother was 7 or 8 years ago when we drove through New Mexico on the way. We were on vacation going to the West Coast, and believe it or not, at the time my parents were actually visiting him. So that was kind of interesting. That's about the last time I saw him. But Eddie and my sister Elizabeth live in Chicago, and I see them all the time, and they've been by my parents all the time. So that's not necessarily a big deal. But I hadn't seen Billy. I saw Billy about 18 months before he died. He was in visiting my parents when we went down, and we're visiting at the same time, and he and I got into a huge argument. Huge argument.
Yeah.
And that's kind of unusual because the two of us get along extremely well under most conditions. But we also, you know, when the two of us get at each other, we really go after each other. He's the one that took a carving knife to my arm.
Oh my God!
Yeah.
Whoa.
But he's also the one that I grabbed by the throat, put against the wall, and I swung and realized at the last second that hitting him in the face would be a really bad idea.
Yeah.
So I let the punch slide off to the side, and I went through the drywall.
Oh boy. Yep. That would have been a bad thing.
So, you know, but that was in response to the knife.
Yeah. Sure.
So
I
was bleeding from the arm. I grabbed him by the throat, threw him up against the wall, and swung, and realized it was a bad idea at the last second. And so my parents come home to find blood on the kitchen table, on the kitchen floor, and a big old hole in the kitchen wall.
And they said, "Oh well, what's happened here?"
You know, and Billy was on one side of the table, and I'm on the other side of the table, and I've got, you know, a bandage wrapped around my wrist, and I went, "Sorry."
Yeah, right.
You know, but I mean, you know, Billy and I did not leave it that way. When last we saw, so
good.
You know, we had resolved a particular issue
that
we were arguing about. But, you know, I had talked to him while he had been in the hospital. I had planned on talking to him just before he died and didn't get a chance to, but it was not one of those situations where I regretted not having done so.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, we had taken care of business ahead of time.
Good.
You know, and so it wasn't an issue where I felt off about it. You know, and I saw Eddie at Thanksgiving. You know, he was at my parents and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and he and I could have a conversation. I don't know if I've ever, I probably haven't told you about this. There's a particular trait when people marry into the Coyle family,
mm-hmm.
it usually takes them a couple of years to be able to handle a Coyle family gathering.
Mm-hmm.
Because we learned with six kids, we learned to have multiple conversations going on at one time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I could have a conversation with Ann, a different conversation with Eddie, you know, a conversation with my father, and we'd be having a conversation as a family between my parents. There was nothing to have that going on. So as adults, you know, spouses would come in and they'd sit there, and there would be literally 10 or 12 conversations going on. And they would just sit there, and their head would be going back and forth, back and forth, back and forth.
Yeah,
can you keep this? How can you keep track of what's going on? Well, you know, Eddie and I could do that, but we could also have two separate conversations going on at one time with each
mm-hmm.
other.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a repartee that I've never had with anybody else because. You know, you remember the old Charlie Chan movies with, you know, the chauffeur and Charlie Chan would always be finishing each other's sentences?
Ah, yeah.
Okay. Eddie and I went beyond that. You know, we could talk for each other.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so we ended up having conversations. You know, we would be talking about what we'd be talking about with my parents, but we'd also be talking about what we'd be talking about between each of us. So it wasn't just a matter of having multiple conversations with different people. We could have multiple conversations with each other.
Wow.
It was odd. It was strange. And usually that conversation that went down between he and I was always sarcastic, you know, insulting conversation.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it
mm-hmm.
was. It would always be, you know, I see that you've lost another tooth. Have you ever thought about buying wood? You know, it would just the shit would go back and forth at that level, and you know, people would just have multiple conversations going. Are you crazy? Anyways, so I'll miss that because he was the only person that I had that ability to do that with, and he was always when he wasn't nuts, and he was, you know, seriously psychotic when he was off of the medication. He was an extremely good, outstanding, friendly, outgoing kind of guy. He just got along with everybody. You know, and kind of like me, it's a family trait.
Yep.
We get along with everybody, unless we really don't like somebody.
and then you don't.
And then there's no doubt about
the
situation.
Exactly.
You know, that's the other thing about Coils, is there's zero doubt about how anybody in my family feels about anybody else.
Cool.
You know, which is why Anne is such, you know, an outcast, is because, you know, there is no broaching that divide that she created,
mm-hmm.
you know, because we're, you know, she's the one that has to do it, because none of us are going to make the effort. She made the divide. She gets to try and cross over it. So, but, you know, I don't have the same problem that I had with Billy. I don't. I'm much more, I won't say casual about it, but I'm much more in the mindset that, you know, he's okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know. Anyways, go look at my blog. It's up. My post is up there, and it also links to my brother's, what I wrote about my brother.
Cool.
If you're offended by strong language, don't go read my brother's, what I wrote about my brother Billy. If you're not offended by language, the reason that it is profane is because Billy was profane.
Ah, okay.
Billy was one of those rare, unusual people that could string an entire paragraph of swear words together grammatically correct.
Yes. Oh, cool. Yeah.
So, for him, swearing was a perfectly normal and natural part of the conversation. So, he evokes strong emotions in people. But you'll if you decide to go into it, you can see that there's a real difference between the two of them.
Yep.
Both in their personalities and about how I approached it. In any case, thank you, sir. I appreciate.
Thank you, Tracy.
The chit chat, and at the least bit, I will talk to you next week.
Alrighty, we'll talk to you then. Alrighty.
Bye.
Night.
Night.